Welcome, everyone, to the REST podcast, where our goal is to help each and every one of you displace confusion, chaos, and dis-ease in order to heal and find significance in life. I am your host, Natalie Roberts, and I'm here with the author of The Reconstitution Method for Healing and REST, Virginia Dixon. Jem Fadling, author of Hold That Thought, walks us through the seven most common intrusive thoughts we experience and a practical way to take back the head chair.
Jem, I am so happy to have you join me today. Thank you. I'm looking forward to talking about your book, Hold That Thought, because you have some very specific guidelines that people can walk away with practical application. So I'm excited. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Yeah. So I wrote the book really out of my own curiosity with my own thoughts. And I use thoughts and voices sort of interchangeably in the book as that, you know, the cacophony that goes on up here. So I was just fascinated by that. And, you know, the verse that says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I wanted to talk about that practically speaking. What does that look like? How am I being transformed? You know, because it's in the passive, be transformed, not transform myself. So I was really circling around the idea of what would it mean to cooperate with what God is trying to do to transform our mind and the way we think about things and the narratives that we craft and the voices we listen to. So that verse paired with the idea that you are not your thoughts was really sort of the seedbed of the conversation. We have thoughts, but I'm not my thoughts. I can actually take one step back and look at them.
Thoughts have a lot of power. You talked about your approach and your method to coaching people through spiritual formation and soul care sort of approach. And you talked about it being more of an art than a science. And it was really interesting because I realized at REST, we take the science and see the art in it. But we have different starting points. I use resources to help people quickly identify the disparity between what they're thinking and what they're saying, what they're thinking and what they believe. So I'm a data person. I like data, I like resources, and I like to establish a lot of checks and balances. But I was really captivated by some of the things you said because they're fundamentally true. And it's very much what I observe. And your seven automatic thoughts and voices, I thought those were really fascinating. Can you tell me a little bit about those?
Yeah, so it is interesting, just a minute to talk about what you just said, because I am a trained spiritual director, which means I hold space for people. It's not, I don't know that anyone would call it a science. I'm obviously not a therapist. But I am a trained spiritual director with 20 years of experience holding space for people.
It's a discipline
for sure. It is. Mm-hmm. And so, and I've been a student of my own life, my own walk with God. I've been through therapy myself. So I was a student of myself in that way and found a lot of healing through a wonderful therapist. But I think it's interesting that you're saying that you really resonated with what I said, because a lot of it is anecdotal, but it's me reporting on experience. So the seven voices that I chose, I mean, there's so many more kinds of voices that go on in our head. And I know that. I just chose seven to sort of be representative thoughts that might be hovering around on any given day by a regular person. And I tried to sort of cover as many bases as I could. So I named them. So I've got the stressed achiever, the positive thinker, the inner critic, the anxious controller, the complaining victim, the passive spectator, and the unsettled heart. And again, each one of them is likely representative of a myriad of different ways that the voices, you know, the thoughts maneuver around in here.
Tell us a little bit about each, just briefly.
Yeah. So the stressed achiever is that voice that they're concerned with proving worth. The more I produce, the more I am. These are some of the things the stressed achiever might say. Someone's got to push this thing up the hill, right? Let's get going.
If it's going to happen, it's going to have to be me.
Right. And so the stress comes out because I have to make this happen. So you can see how now you're white knuckling. And then that leads to stress. So you've got the stressed achiever. And then the positive thinker, you know, it can sound like a great thing. Of course, I want to be positive. I want to be optimistic or hopeful. But I'm talking about the kind of positive thinker that you might label as toxic positivity or some version of going into denial and not face what's actually happening. So that kind of positive thinking is everything will work out, or it probably wasn't meant to be anyway, or maybe let's just distract ourselves until this blows over, right? So these are some of the thoughts that you might have that can sort of derail you from maybe the best version of yourself. The inner critic, you know, some of the thoughts that might come from that voice is, boy, you really messed that up. Why can't you get this right? You could have done better than that. Why do you keep me waiting, right? There's just an air of judgment about it. And I have found that judgment does not lead to change. And that's one of the things I like to focus on, of course, even in what you do. Aren't we trying to help people grow and change and mature?
Transformation. Right.
We want to be transformed. So these voices can say things and we get trapped because sometimes we're just on autopilot. And so we feel stuck. I'm trying in this book to just shine a light on them so we can go, oh, look at that. Look what they're saying. And then maybe we could do a little digging around. So the next one would be the anxious controller. And the anxious controller voice might say something like, so many things could go wrong. What if I fail, right? What if I look stupid? What will other people think? So these are anxious thoughts. And I find often that anxious thoughts lead to controlling thoughts. So now I can't lose control. I got to push my way forward. I have to make sure this happens the way I want it to, right? And there's a sense of there, I can only be safe if I can manage this, control this. And then we have that myriad of thoughts that goes with the anxious controller. And then the complaining victim, you know, complains. And so why does this always happen to me, right? I don't have time for this. My whole day is messed up now. There's so many thoughts that can come in. And then the complaining victim especially likes to play the martyr card. If only they would change, everything would be better, right? So now you're staying trapped because you're throwing it onto somebody else. And then the passive spectator, again, that one doesn't sound so bad, except when it just becomes, you know, blending with the wallpaper so much that you're not really living. And so they'll say stuff like, I'm sure it'll work out. I wouldn't want to rock the boat. I don't know enough to speak into this. My opinion doesn't matter anyway. I recognize all of these thoughts and voices just over the course of my life. And then finally, the unsettled heart. The unsettled heart just has a sense that it will never have what it needs. There'll never be enough. I won't ever be who I truly am. This won't work out. Something's missing. I don't know what it is, and I don't know if I can find it. There's a hopelessness about it. And so again, these are not the only seven voices, but I think they probably touch a lot of the kinds of thoughts that we all have on any given day.
What you're giving is people a framework to some of the thoughts that may be feeding the confusion, chaos, and disease that we all have to navigate. And I thought I found great value in it because it's very practical and to the point. And somebody listening right now can document number one, number three, number seven, and how they vacillate perhaps between a variety of these. So I found them so useful. Thank you.
Yeah.
You encourage people to notice, discover, and respond. What is the most practical way, and you call it NDR, I think, right? Do you invite them to ask those in their primary spheres of influence questions?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought up NDR. It is the process that I introduce in the book, and actually I borrowed it from my husband's book. He wrote a book called An Unhurried Leader, and he had a little, like a spiritual practice in there called, I think it was called Unhurrying Our Thoughts. So we had these three little words, notice, discern, and respond. But I decided to take those and blow them up really big in this book because I think they're really helpful. And to answer that question, I don't first start with someone checking in with someone else. What I first have them do is check in with themselves.
We have so many people that want to gift healing to their friends and family members. Due to popular request, we've officially created the Gift of Rest package for purchase. Please go to theplaceofrest.com/wholenesspackages to view the Gift of Rest. If you've been listening to our podcast regularly and are now wondering, what's next or how can I get more support? Our Day of Rest course is available to support you in your pilgrimage. Use the promo code PODCAST, all lowercase, to receive a 10% discount for our introductory Day of Rest course. Now back to the show.
And so the first word, it's NDR. So it's notice, discern, and respond. And it's just a very practical thing. You can just keep it in your back pocket. And even in the middle of a day, if you find yourself being run down by any of these thoughts, the perfectionist comes in and it's berating you with the judgments of what you've done wrong. What if all you did that day was just notice the voice? And so that might even be a place someone can start. Before we even get to discern and respond, can you become a person even for the next week? Just start paying attention to what is coming up for you. Notice, right? And then discern. I think before I move into discern, I want to share with you sort of an imagery that I use to describe this. And you may have even used this in your practice called the inner dining table. I love the image of the inner dining table because I think it helps us visualize what's really going on here. So if you picture a dining room, let's say you're in a formal dining room and you've got, it's a rectangular table. So you've got two ends of the table. Usually the people of the house will sit at the end, right? If you have guests over because it's your home and you're the hosting. So the end seat is mine. In my inner dining table, it's my life, it's me. And so I host my own table. Well, what happens in on any given day is one of these voices can just sneak in and sit down at the head seat and start talking. And notice is when I wake up to that. Instead of being run by it, and now I'm anxious or I'm depressed or I'm whatever, I wake up and I go, who's talking here? And I look in my inner dining table and I see that the stressed achiever is sitting there and she is barking orders and she's all been out of shape. And she's reminding me that, you know, I am what I do.
It's an intrusive thought.
Exactly. But I won't know that unless I'm paying attention. And I look, so I look over there and my next move is to move toward discernment. So to do that, what I do is when I see another voice sitting in the head seat, I walk over and there's no judging. I don't have to berate. I don't have to do anything. I can just say, thank you for bringing these things to my attention. I invite you to sit in one of these other chairs. And I have the voice just sit down on the side of the table and I take my seat back in the host seat. Mm-hmm. And now I can move into discernment. I could have maybe some kind of dialogue. And I understand we're naming these voices and stuff, but you all understand that I'm talking about that way in which we talk inside of ourselves. You know, that part of you that takes a step back and can think rationally for a moment, maybe, and then have a conversation. Hey, stressed achiever, I can see that we're really uptight today. You can listen to them more if you want. You can have a journaling time where you try to dump out all the thoughts that they're having. There's quite a few different things you can do. Depending on how intensive that voice seems to have a grasp on you, you might want to move to some support like therapy, like spiritual direction, whatever you need, some kind of coaching. Sometimes though, in the day-to-day way, you can just listen to what the voice is saying and say something like this. You know, yeah, I can hear what you're saying and I can see how that might lead to this, but I'm learning some new ways in my life to cope with what's going on. And I don't think I need this much stress right now. In fact, I don't choose this stress right now. I'd like to move forward in peace for the remainder of this hour or for the rest of the
day. Can have value, but not now.
Exactly. So, and I can always come back. It's not like I'm dismissing these thoughts. I don't have to judge them. I don't have to ignore them. I can address them in a long-term way if necessary, but in a day-to-day way, I can also just say, thank you so much, but I'm going to do this instead. So you can see how I had a moment of noticing. I sat back down in my chair. I had a discerning conversation with myself. Yeah, that's not helping me right now. These are two words I love, helpful and unhelpful, right? Instead of saying good or bad, because sometimes I don't know if this is good or bad. sometimes people think anger is bad, but sometimes anger is what's going to make change that you need to make, right?
Right. And the discernment is so important because sometimes the voices that come at us aren't even our own.
It could be your mother on a bad day from 30 years ago, right?
Or a boss that's insensitive or anything, right?
A coach that was belittling or a teacher that was a perfectionist. I mean, we've collected all these things.
How does the discerning phase differ from the respond?
Yeah, so respond then is more like the action that you're going to take.
Action.
Yeah, so response is action. So discern
is think, right?
Yeah, you're thinking about it, you're processing, you're praying. And it, again, I realize that you and I are having, it's a linear conversation and a linear description that I'm making, but you know how any process is, it's organic.
Right.
And you'll circle back around, but notice and then discern, have some sort of prayer, some sort of conversation. If you need other kinds of therapies, that's fine. Some things might take longer, but at some point here, let's stick with the everyday sort of, I'm just going to really quickly see a thought and realize it's not helping me. My response can then be what I said to it. Thank you so much. I'm going to choose a different way right now. And I decide that I'm going to move forward in peace. And I do my best to do that. That's my response to it. Now, again, it's a simplistic illustration. If you practice over time, it becomes a way. So I do this now without even thinking about it because I've practiced it so much. And I will sometimes even talk out loud to myself. I feel it really helps for my ears to hear and my brain to hear my own voice making the good choice that I want to make. And so sometimes I'll do this out loud. Some people like to journal. You can journal this too, if that's the way you like to process.
I like the idea of the table. I like the seven thoughts that we can take captive or we can identify. But you need to notice something before you can fully identify it. You need to notice that you're in a state of disease. And then I really liked the sense of the discernment comes with a conversation you have with that part, with that thought, with the presence. And also paying attention where that thought comes in if it usurps your place of authority at the table. Sometimes it can come in another part of that table. I like that. And then the action is the respond. And how do we then respond to that? But by then I can feel multiple degrees of anxiety diminishing or fear, if you will, or depression, if we can go through this process. So it's very accessible and tangible.
Yeah, I really like that process a lot. And again, some thoughts are easy and you can make a shift in a few minutes. Some are old and feel more like they're grasping onto you. And that might take more time. That's okay. You just don't give up. You keep trying. You keep circling back around. You get the support you need. And at some point, there will be a greater deal of freedom.
That's what we're about. We invite people into a place of rest so they can live free. I think you've really made this accessible, practical, and really inspiring. I think every one of us can hang up. We can make the list of seven and put NDR, notice, discern, and respond, and try that out for a week. Closing thoughts on the confusion, chaos, and disease of our time and how you think in the most practical ways this can be transformative. You have the last word.
Yeah, it is. You use the word chaos, and my goodness, if you're on any kind of social media feed or watching any news, it is chaotic right now. And the statistics on people's anxiety levels, depression, overwhelm, burnout, we're tired, we're overwhelmed. And so one of the things I want to circle back around to is what Romans 12 said. It said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But even if we stop in the first two words, be transformed, it's a relationship word. Be transformed. We are receiving something from God. So allow yourself to be open, receptive, receive as much grace as you can. And remember again, you have agency. We do not have to be trapped under the clock or the calendar or the news feed. We can be proactive by noticing, discerning, and responding. And it can be in a spirit of cooperation with what God is doing.
The primary sphere of influence, right? And the primary sphere of government is among the constituents of each individual. And then what we see in politics, for example, and outside of us, is just an expression of that. So those are good closing words. Be transformed. Every one of us can change.
Yes.
If we can hold that thought and notice it, discern, and respond. Thank you so much, Jem.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you sharing all these bits of wisdom with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. You're welcome.
To get in touch with Jem Fadling, please go to unhurriedliving.com. You can find her book, Hold That Thought, on Amazon for purchase.
For updates about Rest and this podcast, please visit our Instagram or Facebook, The Place of Rest. If you'd like more information about Virginia or to support and join the cause of Rest, please go to theplaceofrest.com/donate or call 949-289-5935. Thank you for listening to Rest with Virginia Dixon. We'll see you next week.